Good morning. I decided to speak this morning about what our hearts desire because it's extremely individual and it is something that we all have in common, a general desire for more good and more of what we call the life abundant. But it means different things to different people. If I was to ask what your heart desires, I bet I would get a lot of different answers here, many ideas of good. But one thing is we are desiring people. We want to express more life. The Austrian psychiatrist who had sort of a negative view about our spiritual potential was Sigmund Freud, but one thing that I agree with him about is that we all want more life, abundant life. He just thought we had to suffer through it, and I think we can grow through it. And so if we agree that we want to express more and have more and feel more joy and more pleasure, then we can make it individual for ourselves. I'm not here to ask you this morning what your idea of that good is. I'm here to help you realize it and affirm with you that what you want, you really already have, and explain that. The very act of desire down deep in the soul that comes up through the heart and through the mind and through the mouth and outwardly is the proof that you can have it. It is a product, as they say, of life or God longing to express more. It's not particularly the object of that desire that I'm talking about. It is the feeling behind it. You know, Neville Goddard said, feeling is the secret. I've said it. Anything happens twice, first in your imagination and then in reality. You see, you have to see it before you can be it, but then in another way, you have to embody it before you can be it. So you see, manifestation is not so clear-cut all the time. It's not a process that goes 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it's 1, 1.5, 2.5. We have to go around some things to get what we want. And sometimes we don't get what we want, and thank God for that. I remember times that I had seeded for things and wanted things, and my biggest heart's desire was a particular car. And I got that car, and I loved it, but it became an albatross. There were so many things that had to be done. My heart's desire was finally to get rid of it. How could that happen within the space of 2 years, wanting so desperately to have it and wanting so desperately to get rid of it? You see, we don't always know how to channel this innate desire for more, this God's coursing through us saying, new life. We think new life sometimes is material possessions. But how many times have we gotten those things and tired of them? We think it's a relationship. And those are the most important things. But if that was the case, if that stayed static, we would have no divorce. We know that some things just aren't meant to stay and last that we think we want, that we think we need. But what we need is really very little. We need food and air and water and shelter. Everything else pretty much is an expansion to enjoy what we call the good life. What is the good life to you? What does it represent to me? Does it mean security? We live in a world that doesn't offer a lot of security. We have to make our own at times. Does it mean more life, more health? I think it does. I think we generally all want the same things, but I think there are times that we're also tuned into one particular desire we'd like to see manifest and work in spiritual ways to get that done. Affirmations and visualizations are a great, great way to do it. And I always say to add to that prayer or that visualization, this or something better for the highest good of all concerned, including myself. If I'd have done that with a car, maybe I wouldn't have had the albatross around my neck. See, the universe takes you at your word. When you say, I am, that's when things click into motion. Those two words are the words of creation. So regardless of what it is you desire, let's go back to what's inside, this life longing for itself, which is the power and the presence, to me, of God. You see, I don't think, and have said before, that God wants to be worshipped and adored. I think God's power is here for us to use, and to use constructively for ourselves and for others. The problem is we don't always know what's constructive for others. Sometimes we don't even know what it is for ourselves. That's why there's prayer. That's why there's meditation and contemplation and even reading sacred scriptures and going through the process of cleansing our internal selves to find out what is it that we really want. What is it that we really think would make us happy in the long run? And I think that that is pretty much the same for all of us, even though at some levels we want this house, that job, this person, that car. We want more life. And when you affirm abundance, when your heart's desire is for more life, without outlining what that looks like, and our early metaphysicians said, whatever you do, don't outline it. Be open to Spirit expanding you in the way it sees fit. So you see, if you're open to that and you receive that, or at least ready to receive that, then what comes you can know is for your highest good, whether it seems challenging or whether it's pleasurable. You see, not all of life is going to be fun and games and happiness, and I say rainbow and unicorns. We affirm that, we like that, but life just sometimes bangs on our hood, so to speak, and we have to get through the going through stage. It came to pass in the Bible, it says, not to stay. I would like for us to eschew using the dualistic words of good and bad. I don't think that we have enough knowledge of the whole picture and the whole plan to know what is truly good and what is truly bad. Oh, we know that we should treat each other well. We know what the Master said. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Those were the two big. We know that, but I don't know that we always know what's good. What our heart desires is more life, but is that the way we channel it, the best way to have it manifest, what we're calling it? We have to think about that. And in thinking about that in any length of time, I think the answer comes by, as Emerson said, lowly listening, and especially listening to the integrity of your own soul as it seeks expansion. If what we want is more life, then all we have to do is be open to that, and being open to that means letting go of some things that have hindered us or weighed us down. We all have them. We all know that if you step on a garden hose and you kink it, it's going to come out, the water's going to come out in a trickle, and there's not going to be much power. The stepping on that garden hose, we step on our lives like that through our resentments, our frustrations, our angers, our jealousies, our humanness. We release those, we step off that hose, and the power flows. Where does the darkness go when you turn on the light? You see, it's always about choice for us. We think that God is doing something, and the truth is God has already done all for us that He can do. That doesn't mean that prayer is ineffective. Not at all. It means prayer is aligning our desires with the desire of God, which is life more abundant. It is put right back on us to use this power in the way that we see fit with the light we have in front of us to make decisions. I'm only here to help all of us make wise decisions and to expand at the same time. I don't think it's through the good times that we expand and we learn. It's through what's challenging and tough. And sometimes I've looked back at my own life and said the things that hurt were the things that stretched me the most, were the things that I didn't like, that I wanted to run from, that I wouldn't have any way thought that I would go through. I turn those times, as I say, turn a twist on it and make the negative positive. You can always find something good in a situation if you look hard enough for it. Even if you are lonely, locked away, and going through some of the worst things you could imagine, you still have this wonderful paradise between your ears that can take you places and call up wonderful memories and visualize all kinds of wonderful things. The last freedom is the one to choose your attitude in any given set of circumstances. And that's yours. And that can't be taken away from you by anybody. So you see, you really are the proactive actor in your life. We like to blame other people. We like to blame conditions. And sometimes they do have a bearing on how we feel, but ultimately we feel the way we choose. Our heart's desire is for more life, and that life expresses as. And you fill in the blanks. If it expresses to you as a brand new Mercedes, go for it. If it expresses to you as being of service to somebody else, go for that. But make sure you've asked yourself and in the integrity of your being, without the ego talking, as much as we can push that away, what do I really want? And I think the answer to that is, we just want more life, we want more happiness, and we want more joy. And sometimes we misappropriate that by choosing things that, as Scripture says, moths and rust corrupt. Store not up yourselves treasures on earth, but in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You can store the treasures right there. You already have treasures right there. You have a gift that somebody needs. Your heart may be desiring to serve somebody. It may look very challenging to you what you really desire, but there's a way to get there. You might want to heal a broken relationship. You may want to go back and heal a memory. There's all kinds of ways to do that. There's wonderful hypnotists, therapists, ministers that can go back and work with you to release a block that you place there that keeps you from your highest good today. It could have been years ago. There's all kinds of ways to get where you want to go. There's an old saying, all roads lead to Rome. All paths, all directions, all spiritual disciplines lead to the one infinite and wonderful and almighty God. So many people say, I want to see the face of God. I want to talk to Jesus. I want to be able to and fill in the blanks. And I think so many times God, if God spoke physically, would say, I want to hear what you did with the power I gave you, with the choice I gave you, with the desires that I planted in your heart that you may not have recognized. You may have allowed your ego to make those choices. You may have allowed somebody around you to dictate those choices. That's why I'm for radical individualism. I don't like to see everybody doing the same thing in the same way. I think that diversity is a strength. I think that unity in that diversity is godlike. It's recognizing everybody's ability to be what they choose without any insistence that they satisfy the demands that I may place upon them. That's allowing life. And that's allowing people to be individuals. And that's recognizing the God in somebody else. You see, the old-time unity folks used to say, the Christ in me salutes the Christ in you. Today, we might say, I have me to give to you, and I want you to give what you have to me, and out of that, something wonderful is going to happen. It's just a difference in words. So the Christ in me does salute the Christ in you. And the Christ in you and in me is health, joy, wisdom, prosperity, abundance, every good thing. The scripture actually confirms this. And not only that, there are scriptures, sacred scriptures around the world that talks about the desire of God for you to be all you can be. Now, a lot of people place restrictions on what that looks like and how that desire must be manifest. But it's still about receiving power. And ultimately, it's about exercising faith. You see, when I step down here, I have faith that this is going to hold me up. When I sit in the chair, I have faith that's going to hold me. That's pretty easy. If you were to put this board 30 feet high and ask me to step on it, that might be a little different thing. I might be a little nervous about that. But it would still hold me. It's just higher. You inside can go higher and rest assured that you won't fall because God is with you. God is for you. God loves you. That's the message of Christ. That's the message of Buddha. That's the message of our American transcendentalists. That's the message of any healthy and good spiritual teacher. I don't want your heart's desire to be one that you're focused on limitation. That can happen. Your desire may be to punish yourself for opportunities missed, for things that you wish you had done. Regret says, I can write a different past. Regret doesn't work. You see, we could take this wonderful essence and flow of God and turn it in on ourselves in a very negative way. And it doesn't bless us, and it certainly doesn't bless the people that are around us. What blesses us and people around us is when we allow the divine flow to flow through us and touch other people. And notice, in the most hardened criminal's heart, love is really what he or she wants. You whip somebody and hurt them over and over again, they become angry, they become frustrated, they become hardened. And if you reach your hand out and say, what can I do to understand you? You may have a slow start, but you're going to get communication eventually because people want to be heard and understood and ultimately want to be loved. I think people make some bad choices in life because they think good is attached to it. Well, the good news is whatever the bad choice in almost every instance can be changed to your ultimate good and somebody else's ultimate good. We are all teachers and students of each other. Joan Borsinko wrote a wonderful book called Love is the Lesson, Guilt is the Teacher, or I could have that backwards. But what she said basically was, we desire connection with one another, and we don't know how to do that because my set of ego and my set of ideas keep bumping in to yours, and we don't know how to relate to each other. The relating to one another is part of our heart's desire. Have you gotten the idea today that I'm calling your heart's desire more joy, more life, more peace, more all of those wonderful things? Not so much the material things, although they're important, and they can bring us joy for a time. But you only have to look back to when you were a child, or I look back to when I was a child, and I had gifts under the Christmas tree, 6 or 7 of them. And I remember on Christmas Day, open one, be with it for a little while, open the second one, the third, got all the way to the 7th one. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and lunch was ready, and we had our Christmas lunch, and I looked my parents dead center in the eye, and I said, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. So we've got 7 presents. Well, but I know, but I've already done that. See how the mind jumps and flits from one thing to another because material things have their place, but not the ending. Should not be the ending for you. Should only be something that you express as part of your expression and your joy of life, but not your reason for life. Your heart's desire is really joy and happiness and love. And that's a choice that you can make right now. And I'm going to add to that, expansion. Expansion inside. It doesn't it feel good when you release something that hurts? The body has ways of doing that. You eat something that's bad for you, it will expel it. You get exposed to a bug, there's a fever to burn that off. Everything is always lifeward. This great power is seeking to replicate itself and to express itself in more abundance. Although a fever doesn't feel good at a time and throwing up doesn't feel good at the time, it is expelling something that's not for our good so that our good can come through. Well, in our minds, we need to expel those things that are not for our good so our ultimate good can come through. Now, I'm not saying that you all have resentments or harbor secret negativity. I'm not trying to say that. I'm only offering it as an option for new life. Because really, when you get down to it, when everything else is taken away, there's only one real choice, and that's to fear or to love. And if we're living in fear, if our heart's desire is to make others feel guilt or fear or anger or any of the lower emotions, if we think we gain power that way, we're so wrong. We only weaken ourselves. Have you noticed how hard a despot or a tyrant has to work to keep power? Because it's unnatural. It's not the way of things. We know that expansion, not constriction, choice, not dictation, is the way it's supposed to be. So I ask for you this morning to look inside your heart and say, what is my greatest desire? And if it is a material thing or some material things, that's fine and proper. But look at it in the bigger way. More joy, more life abundant. Choosing in favor of yourself. Choosing in favor of somebody that you love. Releasing something that you know is not for your good. Letting the Spirit have its play through you. And then wild and wondrous things happen, like you go out and live a way you didn't think you would. You forgave somebody that you never thought would happen. You have a new relationship with somebody that was broken. You broke that relationship. It didn't work. These things become healed because you are open and healed already inside. So your heart's desire and my heart's desire ultimately is love. And the peace and the joy and the contentment that comes with that. Now, as I said, don't hear me say that you're not to affirm for what you want, house, car, job, person. That's all fine. But let it be secondary to wanting this expansive life that I'm talking about. To being all you can be, to releasing those things that hurt, and to reach out for the things that heal and make whole. Life is about more than money. It's about more than things. Life is about love and people. I know you probably get maybe a little tired of hearing me say this, but I will say the sole purpose of life is to love and be loved. And in that, Dr. Freud and I agree. He said the sole purpose of life was pleasure and to avoid pain. Well, love is the ultimate pleasure. You see, I think we all want the same thing. We're saying it different ways. So go love expansively and start with yourself. You are a special and wonderful spark of individuality. Notice I didn't say personality. Personality is something we choose. Individuality is the way God made us. Now, if we choose and we make our personality, we can remake it. We can unmake it, we can choose again, and we can walk a different path. And if you need to do that, I uphold you. And if you don't need to do that, wonderful. But whatever you do, love. Love expansively, love outrageously, and show that grace to everyone you meet. And by this will they know that you are mine, that you love one another, says Christ Jesus, And I think that brings us full circle. I wish you a wonderful, expansive, joy-filled, and loving week. And so it is.